Hi, everyone. I'm Eleanor, and you're listening to Sweet Deviation, the podcast designed to help you navigate, organize, and get creative while living with ADD. In each episode, I'll share personal stories, tricks, and insights that I've used to break through daily challenges. And together, we will lean into the diagnosis and stop fighting our natural tendencies. Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of the Sweet Deviation podcast, season 1. Today, I wanted to talk to you about lack of confidence. So if you're like me, and I think we all do have these tendencies at times, but you might find yourself feeling like you've missed the bus or you just haven't lived to your full potential. And though it's not uncommon in the general population, this can be even more pronounced with people with ADD. We tend to be more sensitive to these feelings, and research shows that our heightened need for acceptance can cause us to be more susceptible to feelings of unworthiness. So I think we can all agree that the feelings of unworthiness hardly ever lead to confidence. So you may know somebody who just exudes confidence. Like this person walks in a room and they're just, bam, they're there. And you might see them and not understand, like, how do they get to this place where they have this great deal of confidence? And I know I've done that before, where somebody believes so much in themselves and their own abilities that it even makes me uncomfortable. So I don't know if that makes sense, but if you've ever had that feeling, I'd be curious to hear from you. You might know somebody who, let's say at work, exudes so much maybe unwarranted self-confidence. You might even think that they're a little delusional because they're just always self-promoting. And that happens too. People who you look at and think, you know, how are they in that position of power? I could do that job so much better, but I just don't have the confidence to just put my neck out there. You know, maybe you're right. Maybe the people that you see, they're not really deserving of all that confidence. It might also make you feel like they're being dishonest. Sometimes it can be embarrassing for us because we tend to be more empathetic, so we feel for them. And, you know, you might get kind of cringy feelings and they might not even be aware of. Now, I'm not saying that this is a negative thing for people who have confidence. More power to you. In fact, today I want to talk about how we're really lying to ourselves. We should have confidence. There's absolutely no reason why we should feel like confidence is a bad quality. So if you think that their confidence comes from having success at something, I'm going to tell you, this just hasn't been the case for me. I've had some pretty incredible successes, and I still fight with the feelings of just not being good enough. I mean, to the point that it is maddening. So, you know, I'll give you an example of when I was young, a family member, a member of my immediate family, actually, has always had a great deal of confidence. She could walk into a room when we were young and she would own it. And I was always kind of in the background in awe of this power that she had over people. And growing up, we'd have a lot of family, big extended family get-togethers very frequently. And oftentimes, you know, throughout the day, the closer we got to nighttime, the more maybe drinks were flowing with the adults. And typically there was music. I mean, really, it was a great time before, like when I was really young. I have good memories of that. But almost on every occasion, this sibling would just declare that it was her time to sing a song. And, you know, no matter what the adults were doing, everybody would say, yes, you know, let's hear her sing a song. What are you going to do? And she would ham it up. I can just still see her in my mind's eye. And it got to a point where her confidence was so grand and just she owned it that she stopped singing for free. You know, these get-togethers, I mean, she would come home counting cash on the way home because she declared one day that, you know, her talent was important. And if they wanted to hear her sing, then they ought to, you know, pull out their pocketbooks. And they did. The adults somehow ate it up. And I never really understood. It seemed to me that God, if I had tried that, I always feared that I would be reprimanded for kind of getting out of bounds and not knowing my place, especially because being a child then was, it's different than today. You know, it was just, you know, be quiet, out of mind, you know, just stay out of the way and be quiet. So that is one example of my experiences with watching somebody else have confidence and being in awe of it, but also feeling a little bit gypped because I didn't have any dollars to count on the way home. So I was just kind of mad at myself because I never felt like I could own that space like she did. Now, the same sibling years later, maybe 1983-ish, we had stood in line for hours. It was some of our friends, like middle school friends. We were waiting to hear Tom Wopat. I don't know if you all remember Tom Wopat was Dukes of Hazzard. He was the brunette brother in the Dukes of Hazzard. And in the early 80s, he was putting out a CD, and it was kind of a big deal at one of our, you know, music stores, record stores in my hometown. So we all caught the bus and we went up to go meet this guy, Tom Wopat, in person. It was kind of a big deal because the Dukes of Hazzard were still very popular. And after having waited in awe to just finally get to the table where he was signing autographs, this person, okay, it was my sister, she gave him her autograph. She had been waiting in line. We had no idea she was going to do it. She waited till she got to the front of the line and told him he needed to save her autograph because she was going to be something. And my jaw dropped. I can still remember the look on his face because I don't know if he was annoyed or amused by it, but I was completely in awe of that. So I share these stories because I don't think that confidence is a bad thing for the people who have it. It's those of us who struggle with it. And I really have come to this conclusion that the word confidence, there has to be a root, right, in the word con. I think that we do con ourselves out of the belief that we could have confidence. And so I'm going to give a quick definition of what I believe anyway, what a con artist is. Maybe a person who tricks others into persuading them or to believe that something's not true, right? Like they maybe exaggerate things or they make empty promises. But generally speaking, those people are effective in telling that lie and people believe it. So I'm going to just put this out there for you to consider, but are we our own con artists? Could it be possible that we are telling ourselves that we're not good enough often enough that we believe the lie? So if a con begins small, right, we may not see it. These are things that are done kind of in the back of our minds, not in the forefront. So it's not something that you see. For instance, we'll talk about overt and covert behaviors and feelings. So an overt behavior might be procrastination. So let's say that you've been procrastinating, you know you're procrastinating, your coworkers or your family members can all see that there has been procrastination because there's a lack of productivity, right? It's obvious. You can't deny it. Either you did the thing or you didn't do the thing that you should have been doing it. It's measurable. But what's not measurable is the overt feeling that comes from that procrastination. So you might feel like you're worthless. You know, here's something else that I was supposed to do and I didn't do. Or you can tell yourself, you know, I don't have the focus or I don't have the energy. Now, these are things that you tell yourself overtly. People can't see that. It's not obvious except to you. In the back of your mind, that's the tape that's playing over and over again. So another example could be overtly like scrolling social media. Anybody who sees you can see, yes, you've been on Twitter for an hour and a half now just scrolling or Instagram. And what they may not see is that you're kind of having these feelings of inadequacy or jealousy or even guilt. So one last example of an overt behavior that I shared last week for me is a social gathering. Overtly, you can see I was there. I mingled and talked to different people, and it on the surface may have appeared that we had a good time. And it's not until, you know, the next day or maybe in the middle of the night when I wake up with the covert feelings of that post-social anxiety that I shared with you last week. My point is, we are the con artists here. So my hope is to bring you to a place that we can kind of shine some light on that. So these feelings aren't hidden anymore. I think that the quicker we can bring them into the light, the better off we'll be, and the faster we can get to that place where we do exude confidence. I mean, really, I do think that we all should and have to find a way to get there. So I'm going to suggest these things. Number one, to dispute the irrational thought pattern before it even starts. So if you have a preemptive emotional response, so you know that you're going to have post-social anxiety because it has happened. So maybe a suggestion might be to put on a coping card that's specific to post-social anxiety. So if you have it on those cards and it asks specifically, you know, what happened? How did you feel? And is it real? Can you argue against it? Those are things that we have talked about. But I would ask that you add this additional question for your post-social anxiety. If that thing that you're embarrassed of or ashamed of, if you woke up and found that it was printed on the front page of the New York Times, would you really, really be ashamed? Right? When you put it in the context of big news, does it really matter if I, you know, misspoke or if I called somebody by the wrong name and that appears on the New York Times? You know how unimportant that is in context? So I think, you know, that's a question I like to ask myself when I wonder, am I blowing this out of proportion? So consider that. If there's something you're holding on to that's a kind of like, ah, I can't believe I said that. Would it really matter? Do people just skim past that article without a care? Most likely, because they're busy worrying about the things they said wrong. So that was number one. The next suggestion is to set reasonable expectations. So if you know that the covert behavior is going to be coming, right? Much like the coping card that I stated before, I suggest you go back to the second episode where I talked about telling yourself the truth. Telling Yourself the Truth is a book by William Backus and Marie Chapin. It is a super old book. The copy I have was written in the 1980s, and I just happen to have had it all of these years. And it comes from a different perspective of what happens when we lie to ourselves and the shame that we carry. So it's not really going to be the self-help book that you would find on the shelves now. I found that it was a little old-fashioned, but I really love that it so cuts to the point of tell yourself the truth, because in reality, you know that what you're saying to yourself, you wouldn't say to somebody else. You wouldn't say that to a friend. So why would you allow yourself to give all of those negative talks to yourself over and over again? So prepare to argue against the misbelief that you're telling yourself. Thirdly, can you avoid or limit the stimulus? So I really think that social media has been wonderful in a lot of ways, but it's really given us and done a great disservice. I think comparisonitis, if that's a word, is a real danger here. You know, we grow more and more anxious when we compare ourselves to others. And, you know, it's really difficult to go through the Instagram feeds and you see everybody's, you know, completely refined and beautiful through a million filters, pictures. My friend Chris and I joked about how, you know, you'll take a picture from the neck up with a beautiful background and they don't realize that below that you're wearing a flotation device and you put on 10 extra pounds and, you know, you haven't had a pedicure or whatever. We only see what people want us to see. And it's not a real reflection of what is true. So when we begin to compare, I think that we set ourselves up for a great deal of disappointment, and that can lead to lack of confidence or self-confidence. So I suggest that you limit the comparison. Now, that's hard to do, and I get that. So I'm going to go a whole different direction. Let's lean into the comparison, and I'm going to go on a limb here, and I'm going to say that if you are listening to this podcast right now, you're likely not living in a war-torn country. You probably have eaten something today, and you have enough money to buy a smartphone and have access to the app that you're listening to this podcast on. So if you have to compare, let's at least look that way. We're doing far better than a lot of people. And I don't say that as a way to, you know, puff ourselves up because we're better. That's not at all what I'm saying. But let's put it in perspective here. Let's appreciate the things that we do have. And that leads me to my number four suggestion is our proof. So at one point I had told you that we should have a success notebook. And I really do stand by that. It might be hard for you right now if I asked you, what is the last thing that you did that just, you know, you were really confident in? You might be hard-pressed. To be quite honest, I'm hard-pressed right now. I don't think I can think of anything. Maybe this podcast. I haven't quit yet. So I can say that that's developed a little bit of confidence in me, that I've continued it and I haven't fallen prey to some of those, you know, don't do it, it's not good enough things. I mean, they have come up, but at least to this point, I have kept them at bay. So if you can't think of one thing, it's important to put it in a notebook so that when you have that moment of, you know, you had a good conversation with a friend or you were a good friend or you gave good counsel or you succeeded at something that you didn't think you'd be able to, or someone said you did a great job. Write those things down. And that is what we should be scrolling. We should be looking at that way more often than we look at what, you know, influencers are doing on social media. I really think that the con here is that we're not good enough and we continue to tell ourselves that by looking at some of these things and having these responses to, honestly, cons. None of it's true, y'all. None of it is true. So let's get back to a place where we can at least be honest with ourselves. My final word on it is, if you can, find a group of people that you trust and start to share these feelings. You know, it's really vulnerable to say to somebody, I lack confidence. You know, can I lean on you? I think that sometimes because we lack confidence, people say like, oh my God, here you go again. Those aren't the people that you need to lean on, right? You don't. I think that if you suspect somebody that you know might have ADD, maybe try leaning on them a little bit, because the likelihood of them saying, I completely get it and I'm here for you, is probably more likely than if you came across somebody who is extremely confident, because then it just sounds like you're begging for compliments or whatever. That's a real drawback for us, because if we ever do get, you know, go on the limb and ask for help or ask for encouragement, if we happen to ask people who don't have this issue, they are going to really judge us through that lens that, gosh, my friend says, you know, we talk regularly. He says, you know, sometimes I really feel like I need too much validation. I think that those are the things that we have got to set ourselves up for. Know who you can lean on. Know who your people are. And if you happen to not have those people, throw a comment in this. Follow this podcast. Go to the show notes. Go to the website. Send me a message. I can tell you that the whole point of this entire thing, whether anybody else ever hears this, my goal had been and is still to do this in order to sort my feelings out. This pandemic has been grueling. I think that the isolation that we all feel has been really highlighted, obviously, but more so because there's so much unrest in every other way. So if you're finding that you can't really confide in anyone about it, I can offer this. I think that the sooner we get to a place that we don't condemn one another for needing validation, the better we'll be. Now, I'm not a medical professional. I don't have any degrees. I can't really help anybody. I can only tell you from my perspective what has worked for me and what I can, you know, suggest you try. And it may not work for you. And that's exactly why I think that as a community, if we come together and share other opinions, because you might see it from a different perspective that I have not yet considered. And I welcome those comments so that we can all get to a place that we're okay with this. I hope that we all grow in confidence. And I think that the best way to get there is to end the con, right? So own it. Own how awesome you are. Remind yourself regularly that you're doing the best you can. And if you have a success that you want to share here, share it. Let us all join in that success and cheer you on. But don't forget, you got to put that in your success notebook. So do that first. And I hope that this time with me has been valuable and well spent. I look forward to talking to you some more. And I hope that you take time for some sweet deviations.